Ezekiel knew exactly where to find God and how to find God. If Ezekiel ever wanted to be close to the presence of God, he knew exactly where to go. God was in the temple in Jerusalem, the temple which Solomon had built, the temple where Ezekiel himself was a priest. Now, if Ezekiel wanted to be in the presence of God, first he would need to come into the courtyard of the temple, to the great altar, the huge stone altar. And there, Ezekiel would have to add his own sacrifice, his own offering, to the nation's worth of offerings, which were blazing and burning on top of the altar so that it was always wreathed and surrounded by smoke with fire flashing inside of it. Beyond the altar, inside of the temple itself, there would be incense burning on top of coals of fire with candles dancing to and fro in the midst. And beyond that, there was a final inner room. And inside of that inner room, in that holiest of holy places, there on top of the Ark of the Covenant itself, there were gleaming golden statues. Golden statues of strange composite creatures with wings like an eagle and a body like an ox and claws like a lion and a face like a child of humanity. And these strange statues of golden creatures, they held their wings together, making something like a seat, the mercy seat. That is where the presence of God was to be found, and nowhere else. Granted, coming into the presence of God, it was a bit of a production, to say the least. Sacrifices and incense and prayer and holy festivals, a production, yes. But Ezekiel knew exactly where to find God and what it would take to come into the presence of God. God was in the temple, past the smoky altar and the flaming incense coals, inside of the Holy of Holies, atop the mercy seat on the wings of the strange part ox, lion, eagle, human creatures. God was there in the temple. But then, Cataclysm. The temple was destroyed. Terrible events, far beyond Ezekiel's control. Not one stone of the temple was left on another. The altar was struck to pieces. The statues of the wondrous creatures, they were destroyed, melted down for the gold that they were made of. The temple, the one place where God was to be found, it was gone. The one place in the world where God's presence was, that was the one place Ezekiel could never go again. It didn't even exist anymore. And so the prophet Ezekiel, he lay grieving because he would never again be in the presence of God. This is where we find the prophet at the beginning of the passage we heard read today, laying on the banks of the river, grieving. But there on the banks of the river, Ezekiel has a vision. It's more than a vision. Something overtakes Ezekiel, overwhelms him. There's a great cloud of smoke that rushes towards him like something out of a storm. And this cloud of smoke, it towers over him. And there's a flame burning at its center too, pouring out smoke. This flame pouring out smoke as if a thousand sacrifices were burning on an unseen altar beneath and beyond the cloud. Beyond the fiery smoke, there were coals burning, something like incense braziers. And beyond those, there were living creatures huge and towering. They soared like columns holding up a great building, strange composite creatures, ox and eagle and lion and human, gleaming brightly, but not like dead gold statues. No, these were huge and wild and alive and moving. And the creatures, they held their wings together, making something like a throne, something like a seat, a mercy seat, from which the presence of God was shining like a rainbow after a storm. Ezekiel looked. He looked, and it was as if the temple itself had come to life, had become a living thing. The temple, once a building, then rubble, now wonderfully and inexplicably alive, there at his feet. But how could this be? The temple was in Jerusalem, far, miles and miles away from where Ezekiel lay. How could the temple be there? Then Ezekiel saw the wheels. The wheels high and terrifying and loud as thunder, loud like a roaring waterfall. Each of the wheels was like a wheel within a wheel, moving this way and that. Wherever the creatures would move, the wheels would bear them. And the wheels had borne the living creatures to Ezekiel. Far from home, far from his own land, there was no place in the world where these wheels could not go. Beside the River Chebar, the wheels had borne the presence of God to Ezekiel. If Ezekiel should live the rest of his days in far away foreign Babylon, the wheels would bear the presence of God to him there too. If Ezekiel should take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there, the wheels would bear the presence of God to him. The vision of the wheels. Ezekiel believed that there was one place to find God, one way to encounter God. And when that way of finding God was lost to him, Ezekiel believed that he had lost God forever. But God is not like that. God is not contained in one place. God is not constrained by temples. God is not summoned by priests or invoked by festivals or charmed by incense. God is wild and alive and moving in the world. The vision of Ezekiel and the wheels within wheels. This reveals that when we cannot find God, when we have not even the strength to search, when we have not even the will or desire to be in the presence of God, when we give up, that is when God will find us. Now, I don't personally have ideas quite as definite as did Ezekiel about how to find God, what it takes to come into the presence of God. There is no temple, no altar, no holy of holies to which I travel in order to come into the presence of God. But even so, I do believe and behave as if I know how to come into the presence of God. I behave as if I understand pretty much what it requires to be in relationship with God. What I really do is that I believe that I need to work my heart up into a warm lather of believing in God. And then I need to pray. I need to pray with words both practiced and heartfelt. I need to speak to God. And then I need to return once or even twice a week, perhaps, to the altar. I need the communion table. I need to return to the communion table table and there partake in the Lord's Supper. Coming into the presence of God, it is a little bit of a production, granted. Prayers and faith and sacrament and community, it's a bit of a production. But I feel like I know how to come into the presence of God, where to find God, how to encounter God, what it takes. And it seems that it has a lot to do with me. My effort, my beliefs, me is what it takes, it seems. This is how I really behave. But it works. It works for me until it doesn't. And one day, all of these things, all of these ways that I search for God, all of these things, they will be taken from me. Whether by cataclysm or the simple march of time, all of this will be taken from me. Every way that I know to find God will fail me. They are not as certain as stone. They will fail me. My intellect, with which I weave together beliefs so that they can be both strong and supple, my intellect can in a moment be taken from me, such that my beliefs, so carefully put together, can unravel into gibberish before me of no more use. My faith, coddled as it has been during a life largely free from abject misery, my faith could be shattered by tragedy or loss, so that what is now a warm flame inside of me could well become coal, black, bitter ash, raging at God who did not do what I begged God to do. And if none of that happens, if somehow my intellect and my faith should be vouchsafed to me secure in my old age, then surely, as a mortal person, surely one day my body will fail me. My heart will slow, and I will not have a breath to spare to call on God, and I will pass beyond the realm of all speech and all thought. I may not have a temple, but I have very definite ideas about what it takes to be in the presence of God, prayer and faith and belief, and it has an awful lot to do with me. How I think, how I pray, what I believe, what I do, am I doing it right? But none of that is reliable. None of that is as solid as stone, and even the stones of the temple, they were torn down, brought to nothing. So too will my own efforts to find God one day fail me. Perhaps you are already there. Perhaps you have wandered the endless halls of grief and found that though there are many doors, many rooms, none of them is an exit. Perhaps you have begun to find that words and songs that used to bring you comfort are now saccharine, brittle. Perhaps you've done something that you fear means that you could never approach God and be welcomed. Perhaps you've never believed in any of this, and you're not sure what brings you to this place. If that sounds like you, then you and the prophet Ezekiel would have a lot to talk about. You would have a lot in common. Ezekiel would say to you, it is just when you cannot find God, that is just when God finds you. Ezekiel would say to you, when every way of finding God that you know has failed you and God feels inaccessible and distant, it is just then that something like the crashing of wheels begins sounding in the distance. Ezekiel would say to you that when your own faith has burned out and you have nothing to offer beyond need, that is just when God arrives, wreathed in flames and smoke, as if the fervent prayers of an entire world were burning on an unseen altar. Ezekiel would say to you that when the ground of the world has shifted beneath you, when every path that is open to you seems like nothing but more of the same, and every day is just the same as the day before, but somehow a little worse, and you can imagine no way out, and so your mind turns to desperate things. It is just then that God arrives, borne aloft by strange creatures that mock reason and confound understanding, all wings and haunches and claws and knowing eyes and unexpected turns of fate and tomorrows you could have never predicted. God is wild and alive and vast beyond understanding, borne aloft in eerie grandeur atop wheels within wheels that sound as they move. When you're suffering, God will weep with you. When you're wandering, God will search for you. When you're despairing, God will comfort you. When you've fallen, God will lift you. When you wander, God will find you. When you're dying, God will hold you. God loves you. God claims you. God made you. You are hers. God loves you. God made you. God claims you. You are hers. God loves you. God made you. God claims you. You are hers. And if you should find yourself at the farthest limits of the sea, far from home, or trotting the roads through the valley of the shadow of death, forced to your knees by life, it is just then that the voice of someone speaking will ring. Oh, mortal, stand up on your feet. I would speak with you.